This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Monday, January 23rd, 2017. I'm your host, the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. We have a glorious, delicious nine-game slate on Monday. It is good to be back. Man, I always feel like so much happens, you know, over the course of a weekend when we don't have any podcasts, no shows. I mean, things change so fast, not only in real life, but in the world of DFS. It's pretty insane. So it's good to be back. Before we get started with the show, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. You guys know the drill by now, right? That helps the judge. Also, let's start something new for this week. Why don't we start, like, I know a lot, everyone loves liking tweets on Twitter, right? Everyone's liking everything. Someone sends you a tweet, you like it. I am guilty of the same thing. But we need to expand the judge's podcast, the DG Courtroom. So, what I want from you, my friends, you're not paying any money for this podcast. You're not paying to listen to the judge for 60 minutes four or five times a week. So how about you pay him back with a little retweet, a little RT instead of a like? How about that? That's what the judge is asking for you this week. Whenever I and not whenever I do like a normal tweet, but when I tweet out the podcast link, which I normally do like 4 or 5 in the morning whenever it's posted, or maybe I do it, you know, one or two other times throughout the course of the day. What the judge and the bailiff as well would like you to do is retweet that link out. Let it go across the globe to all of our friends in Australia, to Iceland. We have a few listeners, to wherever they are. But if you could retweet it, it'd be much appreciated. Let us expand the audience. We're a little over 6,000 listeners right now. Let's get that to 7, 8, maybe, I don't know. Let's think big. Let's think 10,000 by end of the year. Is that possible? I don't know, but let's see. All right. Premium services. If you would like a consultation with the judge, I mean, man, guys, I slammed at work. DFS is another full-time job. So the consultations, as some of you know, who have tried to schedule with me, it's been pretty tough lately, but if you still do want one, reach out to me. We'll see what we can do. I'm not sure how much longer that those are going to last, even though I love doing them with you guys. It's just a matter of time. But if you are having a more of a macro problem, building rosters, what contest to enter, finding your strengths. That's the key, right? Every day when you play DFS, you need to ask yourself, why am I playing? Are you playing to win a GPP? Are you truly winning to take down a tournament? Or are you playing simply to cash? You know, cash in a 50-50? Because as some of you who've done the consultations with me know, it's an entirely way of thinking, either trying to cash in a tournament or in a 50-50 versus truly trying to win a tournament. So that's some of the things that we work on during the consultations. Also, our lovely sponsor, Draft, which is an app that you should download. And when you download it, use the promo code DFBPOD. I know many of you cannot find where to use the promo code. And it's been a while since I downloaded it, so I do not recall where it is. But so if you downloaded it and you forget to use the promo code, let the judge know. You can tweet at me or go to the website, dgcourtroomdfs.com, and we will rectify that, and I'll get you hooked up. And in terms of on the app Draft, we have a 7-day battle to the death NCAA bracket challenge. When I say it, and some of you have been asking, what are you talking about NCAA? This is not college. Yes, I know. It's just, you know, when you think of brackets, don't you think of the NCAA tournament? That's only the time you really see brackets. So that's why I've been saying that. Anyway, it's a 7-day bracket challenge to the death. It starts on Monday. There's 128 slots. It's a $10 entry fee. It's 7 days, guys. So, for, you know, $10, it's like what? Like $1.30 a day? I'm not great at math. Especially not at 4 in the morning. But there's, like I said, 128 slots, $10 entry fee. When I started taping the podcast, it was 68 out of the 128 slots were taken. So there's still a decent amount left. So hopefully when you wake up early Monday morning and you start to listen to this, maybe there's still some slots open. If you could get in that and fill that up, that would be great. It's just a ton of fun. It's basically doing snake drafts. Mano-a-mano, head-to-head, every day, winner advances until the ultimate person finally prevails. Also, we do have the Judges Chambers League on Draft. And if you download if you download the app using the promo code, you are automatically in the league. What you may or may not know is that every day around 6 p.m., there is a five-person tournament called the Judges Chambers that we run every day on the app. What you got to do in the app itself, just go to the place where it says My Drafts, and you will see in there, miraculously, something that says the Judges Chambers. And if you want to enter, just click enter. And quite honestly, some days you can still get in. I don't know. I mean, like in the middle of the afternoon, the day of the draft. Now, maybe me saying this on the show, that they might start filling up really fast. Because, like I said, only five slots. And I think there's like 150 people almost in the league itself. But if you guys want me to, I can work on ways to expand that and make that bigger as well. In terms of the chambers that we have running on FanDuel and DraftKings, dude, the NBA is so – everyone's so scared of the NFL. First of all, the NFL sucks. It's so boring now. The games – I don't know if it's just me. If you're still playing DFS and you're gambling on it, then of course it's exciting. But if you're not gambling and playing DFS on it, watching the games itself this year, I think it's been severely disappointing. The level of play overall is just down. And then you're getting – the two blowouts on Sunday were just huge just disappointments. But the NBA was scared to go against the NFL. So only it was really like a two-game main slate. There were four games total on Sunday. So not the best day to play. I played very small. I think I played like $3 or $5 or something like that. We did run one chambers on FanDuel. And the winner was Jason M., his third win of the year. So congrats to him. But let's give a shout-out to, because it's Monday, the people who win on Friday and Saturday, and Friday is the best of the best, don't get a shout-out. So let's give the shout-outs also to people who won the best of the best. And on Friday, we did have a best of the best on FanDuel. Remember, the best of the best tournament, which we run every Friday for the most part, is basically people who are at the top of the power rankings. And we will have our first best of the best on DraftKings this coming Friday. That's also when we will unveil the first DraftKings, the first DraftKings power ranking. So the first best of the best on DraftKings and the first power rankings will be unleashed this coming Friday. But we already have that up on FanDuel because FanDuel, the demand it continues to grow. And like I always say, if you guys are listening to the judge, listening to this podcast, and you haven't played in the chambers, you need to get in there. It's time. You are ready. Trust me, I know it. But so IDFS Daily took down the best of the best on Friday. It was a third win of the year, his seventh cash. So he's knocking on the door of trying to get in, at least get higher in the top 10 of the power rankings. The judge took second, and I Am Legend, who I think now has 13 cash on the year, which is phenomenal. I think that's third best out of everyone. I Am Legend took third in the best of the best. So congrats to those fellows. In DraftKings, no best of the best yet because we're waiting until this Friday because I want a big enough sample size where it actually makes sense to run something like that. But the Friday winner, I want to give a shout out to a guy by the name of Spreadus96. This guy put up a score of 342 on Friday. And sometimes it's just if everyone goes nuts, the scoring can be high. But that wasn't the case on Friday. This guy just had a monster lineup. And that score, I think, would have taken down almost any GPP in DraftKings. Now, I don't know who this person is. He clearly must listen to the show or must follow me on Twitter because it's a private invite that I'm sending out to Chambers. I mean, it's not a public tournament that anyone can enter. So I don't know. I tried to see what else he entered. I'm hoping he entered some other GPPs and won thousands and thousands of dollars. Maybe he bought a yacht after Friday night, so he's off celebrating all weekend. But congrats to him because that was just a monster night for him. And then Saturday, a shout out to What Up Doe 88. Looks like he's one of the top players on DraftKings. He's always at the top of the leaderboard lately. He won the DraftKings on Saturday, Chambers. Dream Killers and Dream Lovers. Dream Killers, the NFL, because the NBA is scared to go up against the NFL, and the NFL game sucked on Sunday. Also, Kyle Lowry was bad. I mean, if you chose him over Eric Bledsoe, you probably were not happy, even though on the two-game main slate or even the four-game slate if you played all day. I mean, Lowry's a pretty good defender, so watching Bledsoe just eat him alive was pretty impressive. Jameer Nelson, this bumbling, stumbling buffoon. I'm so furious that I rostered him. Even in the one lineup I played, first of all, he was like 44% owned, so I should have faded him. And he just stinks. He's like a little goblin out there, a little hobbit. He's like 4'7", you know, 278 pounds. I mean, just he was abysmal. Not to mention, he gets a 3-pointer to win the game. He doesn't even get the shot off. He tries, because he's so little, he tries taking like 3 extra dribbles. Bad loss for Denver. So Jameer Nelson, he could have been a soul crusher on this night, except for the fact that I also rostered Zach LaVine. With Rubio out, I figured LaVine gets a little usage bump. I figured he would have be in line for a nice night, right? Nope. One of the worst nights I've ever seen him. He basically pulled a Courtney Lee, 33, 34, just wasted, useless minutes, pure trash. I don't know, we'll talk about this in a second, but because Eric Bledsoe has been playing so great, we need a new captain of the team, of the Magic Mountain, of the team that resides with me at Magic Mountain going on all the roller coasters, because Bledsoe's no longer there. Is LaVine the captain now? We need to figure this out. This may be the most important thing on the that we'd have to talk about on the show today. But LaVine was dreadful. Kenneth Faried, not really his fault because he got like less than 10 minutes, and that's what Mike Malone can do. But the second you saw that Darrell Arthur was back playing, you probably should have had a good idea that Faried could be a big bust. And sure enough, Mike Malone didn't let him play. Didn't let Faried. I feel like Mike Malone is like one of the teachers who doesn't let his kids play at recess. You know, if you do like anything wrong, he's like, no recess for you. And that's free got no recess on Sunday night at all. Gorgui Dieng, another bum. This guy, I'm pretty sure he's like Drummond. I don't know if he's awake. I'm pretty sure I looked at him a couple times watching that Minnesota game, and his eyes were barely open. He may have been sleeping. I'm not sure. But he's also not playing a ton of minutes these days. Occasionally he'll get like a 30 fando point. In like a season-long NBA fantasy league that I'm in, I had Gorgui Dieng and Serge Ibaka on Sunday. I needed 4 rebounds to win win the category in rebounds. Dieng got me like 1 freaking rebound. 1. And I think Ibaka got me like 3. So I ended up not even winning rebounds. It was unthinkable. Just Gorgui Dieng, soul crusher, dream killer, whatever you want to call it. I'm also putting Will the Thrill Barton here because Gary Harris came back. Honestly, Gary Harris could be a dream killer because, of course, what do we hear from Mike Malone again? And Mike Malone's a dream killer as well. Oh, minutes are going to be monitored. Minutes are going to be limited. Minutes are going to be restricted. All the nonsense we always hear. How many minutes did Gary Harris get? Like 35. What an a-hole. It's just unbelievable. Why coaches feel the need to lie about this shit? It's not the CIA. You're not on a covert mission. You're not in Afghanistan. It's okay, Mike Malone. You can tell us how many minutes Gary freaking Harris is going to get. Anyway, super annoying. Obviously, with Gary Harris getting a ton of minutes, that limited Will to throw Barton's minutes. And yeah, that's that. I'm also listing Jokic here. Only just I want to point out, the dude's like 10.4K. I think he was 10.4K on this slate on Sunday. Remember what that means. That means he's priced the same basically as LeBron, pretty close to Giannis, more than Kawhi. I mean, he's like one of the top, 5-6, pretty similar to Cousins. So he's got to give us like over 50 FanDuel points now. So he put up like 37. And like going forward, on a 2-game slate, that might have worked out for you. But going forward, that's just not going to cut it. So you just need to understand like how expensive that price is. He can now have great games. And still, that could be a detriment to your lineup. So just keep in mind how expensive he is. Now he's been great, he's been excellent, but he's getting so stupid expensive. And now on large slates, there's no way in hell I can go near him. In a tournament, sure, but for like a cash game and right now on a large slate, there's no way I could play him at 10.4K. Dream Lovers. So I Am Legend brought this up to me on Twitter, and I was actually thinking about it all day too. I mean, Bledsoe's been consistently good. He's now a consistency monster. He no longer belongs, on the roller coasters at Magic Mountain. He's just been too good, and he put up over 60 fando points against Kyle Lowry. I think he had over 40 actual points. I think in like real fantasy, again, this season long, he may be like a top 10 player or so in the last couple weeks, if not even higher. He's just been excellent. And part of that is if you watch Phoenix now and watch what they're doing, It's not that surprising that his usage rate and his shots are going up because they're playing two guys who can't score. They're playing Tyson freaking Chandler a ton of minutes, and they're playing defensive-minded P.J. Tucker a ton of minutes. So when you basically relegate T.J. Warren to the bench, the only other really guy they have to score is Booker for the most part. And then you also got Marquese Chriss, who's a young guy who also can't really score at this point. He's just athletic, but it's not really an offensively skilled guy. So it's basically Bledsoe and Booker every time down the court, all the shots they want. So, I mean, that's a big part of it. If T.J. Warren ever starts getting some more minutes again, that'll probably impact Bledsoe. But as long as they're going to keep starting, guys like Chandler and Tucker are giving big minutes, over 30 minutes to those guys, Bledsoe should be able to continue this at I don't know if he's going to be this good, but he still should be able to continue at a pretty nice pace. Now, I will be curious to see what his price elevates to before the next time Phoenix plays, but he's been excellent. Karl Anthony Towns was great, and also Chris Dunn, the rookie from Minnesota. And that's why I think that it makes sense for them to Minnesota to just to trade Rubio, because Dunn is basically better than Rubio at almost everything already as a rookie. Defensively, I think he's almost as good, basically already as good as Rubio. I mean, Rubio is a better ball handler still a little bit, but and Dunn can't shoot free throws. That does worry me a tad. But I mean, I don't know. I think they just need to get rid of Rubio and let Dunn take over. Let him get the minutes. He was great. He had over 40 Fanduel points. So what we need to do is I want you guys to tweet me, who is now the captain of the team at Magic Mountain? Who's going? I mean, is it Willithrow Barton? Is it Kenneth Faried? Is it a guy like Zach LaVine or an Andrew Wiggins? I don't know who the captain of the team should be. But Bledsoe, he just can't be there anymore. So we need someone new. All right. It's an awesome 9-game slate on Monday. One of the best slates we've had in a while. So injury news, not a ton, but there is still some. You got Jeremy Lamb dealing with a foot injury. If he's doesn't play, Bellinelli for tournaments maybe. But also, I think MKG, part of the reason he's been doing a little bit better lately is the Jeremy Lamb effect. If Jeremy Lamb's out, MKG does a little bit better as well. KCP is questionable with the left shoulder. Manu Ginobili dealing with a back issue, questionable. Jeremy Lin will never play another game again. This hamstring, how long is he going to be out with this freaking hamstring? Man, I mean, talk about it's just killing me in season-long leagues. But he's still going to be, it looks like he's doubtful. Tony Parker is doubtful, so the guy was, I don't know where this guy came from, but Murray for San Antonio, and I think he's a shooting guard on FanDuel. I don't know what he's listed on DraftKings, what position, but he's a decent play, and it's scary to play any Spur besides Kawhi in cash games, but Murray's like under 4K, and he's probably should see at least 20 to 24 minutes right now if he's going to start in place of Tony Parker. Joe Harris is out with an ankle. Mike Muscala out for Atlanta. Blake Griffin's still out. Or I think he's still doubtful with a knee still. Tyler Johnson's a big one for me because Miami's playing Golden State. If Tyler Johnson's out, I tweeted this on Saturday when Tyler Johnson was out. I said, play Deion Waiters. Some of you guys did, but most of you didn't. Deion Waiters ended up with like 40 Fanduel points. I told you he's going to help us win a GPP soon, and he did on Saturday. The Tin Man, Anthony Davis, is going to play. Thigh contusion. I don't know what quarter he's going to end up in the locker room. I'm sure he'll be there at some point. Ryan Anderson's going to play. Of course Ryan Anderson's going to play. Otherwise, Sam Decker's going to steal his job. Sam Decker was awesome against Memphis over the weekend. Paul George, I don't know why I have – was he even hurt? I don't know why I have him listed on Basketball Monster. He's listed as playing. That's good. Ronnie Stuckey looks like he's out still with a hamstring. And then Steven Adams is still dealing with a concussion, so he's questionable. And OKC – I mean, God, it's another coach who's just being super stubborn, super annoying. I mean, God forbid they could start Enes Kanter with Steven Adams out. No, they have to start Jeremy Grant, do something crazy, play Lavernia minutes, you know, play more minutes of Sabonis. It's just ridiculous. Let Steven Adams eat, I say. All right, so let's take a quick flight to Vegas. Today I want to go to the Tao pool party because I've been working on my body lately. Been benching at the gym. I wonder if you guys been to the Tao pool party. I'm actually not a fan of pool parties. I got nasty feet, so I got to use like the sandals that like cover your toenails, like those sandals whenever I go to the beach. Yeah, I hide my feet at all costs. All right, over unders. we're still waiting on a couple. This is a weird slate because it's nine games and there's really only one that's somewhat of a subpar over-under. Oklahoma City, and that's obviously Westbrook, at Utah, a 203 over-under. So normally on a nine-game slate, there's games I like to just chop off and I'd say I don't want to play. Utah is playing way up in pace, so there's still some guys I might want to use on Utah. And obviously Westbrook's he's always in play, especially in tournaments. So I'll still use some players for that game. The game that has no line yet is Sacramento-Detroit, I guess because Vegas is so scared of KCP playing. I mean, I don't know why there's no over-under or spread yet, but that over-under should be pretty ugly. That could be, 198? I mean, if that's over 200, that's probably too high because that Sacramento goes so slow playing through Cousins, and Detroit's just been playing slow all year. So that may be the one game that I avoid, especially in cash games for the most part. Also, the Clippers-Atlanta for cash games, that one's probably – I'm not going to probably touch that one too much. And that also, there's no over-under yet for that game. Otherwise, though, you have great games. Houston-Milwaukee, Harden-Giannis, 222 over-under. And Houston's only favored by 5. The Knicks-Pacers, no defense will be played in that game whatsoever, 219 over-under. The Spurs at Brooklyn – the Spurs have been really bad defensively for about a week and a half now. I don't know what it is. Every team is scoring at them pretty easily. Also, some teams have been able to keep it close. And Brooklyn, especially at home, tends to keep games close anyway. So the Spurs are favored by 12, but a 217 over-under. I still think there's some guys that we can attack in that game. And also, a lot of the Brooklyn guys are so dirt cheap. Golden State-Miami. Miami playing way up in pace, 216.5 over-under. You know fat, sloppy Draymond Green went out in South Beach on Saturday night. You know he's going to be hungover. Also, Golden State's on a back-to-back. So, I don't know. I think Miami can maybe keep that game close. Miami's they're on like a three-game winning streak. They're playing reasonably well for them right now. So, why can't they keep that game close? That's a 217 over-under as well. You got Cleveland at the Pelicans, 217 over-under. I mean, all these juicy over-unders. And then you got Washington, Charlotte, John Wall versus Kemba Walker, a 213 over-under. And that's like one of the lowest over-unders of the night. So great games all over the place. I mean, this is going to be a great night for tournaments because you're going to be able to make super creative lineups. And it's going to be pretty easy to differentiate your lineups as well. All right, you know I love three things in life. You know I love the bailiff, pace, and usage. By the way, it's the bailiff's second birthday on Monday. Very exciting. Big plans in store for the bailiff. We may be going to there's actually a bar. I live in New York City. There's a bar in the East Village. I will not give the name of it because you never know if there could be some stalkers out there listening to the podcast. but there's a bar in the East Village that actually allows dogs. So some of my friends are female friends. The guy friends are like, what are you doing? Don't do this. But some of my lady friends want me to have a little birthday party for the bailiff at this bar where we can bring dogs. It's, I don't know. To me, something is a little creepy about bringing a dog to a bar, so I'm not sure if I want to do it, but it's very exciting. The bailiff turns 2, so it's a big day. So I have to achieve glory on this day for the bailiff on Monday night. But, you know, I love pace, the bailiff, and usage. So teams playing up in pace. You got the Spurs playing way up in pace against Brooklyn. I mean, significantly. I mean, over almost 6 points up in pace, which is phenomenal. Miami playing way up in pace against Golden State. You got the Bucks playing way up in pace against Houston. And then you got Utah up in pace against OKC. And a little bit Cleveland versus New Orleans, a little bit. So those are the main teams in terms of pace that I will look to attack a little bit. And again, I use that just as a tiebreaker. Or just something I always keep in mind on my Excel spreadsheet. And those of you who've done consultations with me. You guys know how I love my Excel spreadsheets. I have, you know, every day I write down teams playing up in pace, and I have those teams down on my sheet. All right, we got lots of games, lots of players to talk about. So let's skip over DVP. That might come up during when we talk about players. Anyway, let's just jump into the guys. Russell Westbrook. So at Utah, obviously playing way down in pace. If George Hill was out, because he's been out a lot this year, and Westbrook was going up against Mac Daddy, Shelvin Mack, then I may be a little more inclined. But Westbrook is 12K, the most expensive player on the slate, and playing way down in pace. I just don't think you need to do it. The point guard, as always, on large slates is loaded. So do I think he's an excellent tournament play? I do, because you're going this on a slate like this. This is when you can get a guy like Westbrook at, 15%? And that's going to be super rare. And could he still get 60, 70 against Utah? Yeah, will it be hard? Yeah, but I mean Westbrook, that's one of the many ways you can win a GPP. Get a superstar, get him low owned. This will be a night when Westbrook will be low owned. So will I probably do it for cash games? Probably not, because I think at point guard you don't need to do it. Where a shooting guard, I think the opportunity cost, if you don't play a guy like Harden and Giannis, is a little is much bigger. So I prefer those guys. I especially prefer Harden a little bit over to Westbrook on this particular slate in cash games. But still, tournaments, Westbrook always fine. John Wall, 9.7K. Washington at Charlotte. Kemba's not a great defender. I'm also very mad at Kemba for what he did against Brooklyn. He put up against Brooklyn, he had like 27 Fando points, which is basically that's horrendous because you should get 40 just like walking out of bed. Sleepwalking. I mean, against Brooklyn, you should be able to get 40 Fando points if you're Kemba Walker. So that sucked. And he was like 50% owned in like my single entry tournaments, I think on Saturday. He probably was even higher than that in cash games. Anyway, John Wall, he's just a super safe play, man. You got to love the 35% usage rate. That's by far the second highest out of point guards after Westbrook on this slate. He is expensive, 9.7K, so I don't think you have to do it. I think there's – I mean, you can spend guys in the 7 to 8K range who I think are safe for cash games on this slate as well. But if you don't want to pay the 12K for Westbrook and you want someone who's still super safe, I think Wall's – I think he's got like a floor of around 40 Fando points on this slate. You know, a ceiling of maybe like 55. So he's perfectly fine. All formats. Do I absolutely want to have a little mini stack, a John Wall Kemba game, a John Wall and Kemba as my two guards? Absolutely. Also, I will say this, and I forgot who tweeted me this. One of my longtime followers was, and this is 100% true. People have a bias because they want to be able to watch the games. They want a piece of the action of rostering guys in the early games at a much higher rate than. The guys in the early games are much higher owned than guys playing the last game of the night. It's just that's the way DFS has always been. It's just one of those things. People want to basically watch play the people they roster. So the early game, teams like Charlotte and Washington, they always play at 7. And this game, Washington Charlotte, is at 7 p.m. So guys like John Wall and Kemba, I think the ownership is going to be a little inflated due to the fact that they also are one of the early games of the night. So if you're thinking ownership at all, I do think guys like Wall and Kemba a little bit, though they might see a little bit elevated ownership percentages, but still nothing, especially in cash games, wouldn't deter me at all. For tournaments, though, it's something to keep in mind, but still Wall fine for all formats. Steph Curry, I'm still not touching Curry in cash games. He's 9K. I mean, he has been shooting the ball more lately. The usage rate has gone up. It's basically getting close to 30% now. Quite honestly, I wish it was Durant who was close to 30% because Durant is way more efficient and Durant should be getting those shots. But Durant's down to like 27% and Curry's 30%. But I mean, Curry's at 9K. That's to me in cash games is too expensive. I mean, the last five games, he hasn't even really hit value. 38, 37, 44, 44. So he's been consistent. He's been like consistently fine for that price. But not stellar. And he hasn't given me – he's given me 50 Fando points one time in the last 10 games. And he hasn't given me 60 Fando points all freaking season. That's pretty astonishing. So like, if you want to load up on him for a tournament, that's fine. If you want to stack the Golden State-Miami game and play a little Curry and Dragic, totally fine. And then think that game stays close. But to me, Curry's not a cash game player anymore. Tournaments, sure, you can do it. Kyrie Irving, 8.1K. He was really bad on that Cleveland road trip for a couple weeks. Then, of course, he plays the Spurs on national TV, puts up 48 Fando points. For some reason, Kyrie is always relatively low owned this year. The only time I've seen him high owned is either on small slates or coming off a big game. So now he's coming off a big game. I will be intrigued to see what his ownership level is. But he played great against the Spurs, even though Cleveland lost. And I do think he's basically fine for all formats. Playing the Pelicans, you can attack the Pelicans at every position, especially the guard position. I don't care if Drew Holiday's back. Kyrie should be fine. I think I prefer other guys in cash games, but he's fine. Kemba Walker, 7.9K. John Wall's a sneaky good defender. I mean, Washington only gives up, I mean, they give up like a third fewest points to point guards. So not it's not an elite spot for Kemba. It is a good spot, though. I do think the pace is going to be really good. I also think Kemba's a guy, he's just a tough shot maker. So, I mean, look, you played Brooklyn, the best matchup in the world. He didn't have that good of a game. So could he go off for 40 against 40, 45 fandom points against Washington and John Wall? Sure. Do I love the play? No, I don't love it. I also don't love it because Nick Batum continues to play really, really well, and they run more and more of the offense through Batum. I mean, I'm telling you, the number of times you see Kemba Walker running through screens that he's a shooting guard will basically blow your mind. If you haven't seen the Charlotte play for a while, just like, watch, especially like in the second half or second quarter. Like, you know, he's running through and over and around so many screens. It's he's basically like JJ Redick out there. So, I mean, Kemba's fine, but not a must play. But I think he's safer cash. Am I going to do it on this slate? Probably not, but you can do it, especially single entry tournaments and GPPs, sure. Jeff Teague, very interesting play here by Jeff Teague. He's sneaky now at 7.5K. Indiana's been one of the weirdest teams to watch play. They're all over the place. Sometimes they look a mess. Other times they look super athletic because they. I mean, especially when Miles Turner's going nuts, and whenever Paul George decides that he wants to play. And then they got Teague. They do have talent on that roster. I mean, coming into the season, a lot of experts predict them to be like third in the East. It just hasn't worked out yet. Teague's been relatively good this year, though. And the thing that I like the most are the minutes, especially the last five games or so, have been like in the mid to high 30s, which is excellent. Coming off a great game against Utah, 39 fandom points. The last three. One stinker, but he had 39 against Utah, like I said, and then 48 against Sacramento. So that's in two slow-paced games. Go figure against the Lakers, he put up only 23 fandom points. Because he did have that one stinker, his salary has come down. Now he gets the criminal himself, Derrick Rose. So I think just for justice, in the name of justice, the judge will play Jeff Teague to go after the criminal Derrick Rose. Really good matchup for Jeff Teague. I actually do like him in all formats on this slate. And I think he's going to be a little overlooked. You know, it's Jeff Teague. He's not a sexy name. A lot of people don't like playing Jeff Teague. So I think this is an interesting spot for him. And would it surprise me that if he ends up with more fantasy points than Kemba or Kyrie? No, it wouldn't. And for that matter, could he get more than Curry? Sure. Hell yeah, he could. Goran Dragic. I'm a big fan of this play. I used Dragic a lot on Saturday night. He came through for me. 34 fandom points. I've watched the last two Miami games from beginning to end. They've been interesting because Miami. I watched Miami Dallas because I mean one of the things I'm trying to figure out is how to attack these slow paced games. As you guys know, DFS is getting harder and harder to cash. So I'm trying to get more creative in my lineup building. So I've been focusing lately on watching some of these slower paced games. And Dragic against Dallas was tremendous. Put up 41 FanDuel points. I don't know what his ownership was that night because I didn't play him. I wish I would have. But he was tremendous. Now here, Miami playing way up in pace. His price hasn't gone up at all coming off a couple really good games. So I think he's in a great spot. Even if Golden State does blow out Miami – you figure it's got to stay close. I mean, he's going to get 30 minutes, even if it's a blowout, right? So to me, on this format, I think he's safe for all formats. I was tempted to – I'm tempted to almost lock him in and go all in on Dragic, but the problem is on a nine-game slate, I just think it's a little foolish to do that, especially when there is the blowout factor. But I do like Dragic for all formats on Monday. Next up, Derrick Rose. If you want to play the criminal, you can do it. I mean, against Phoenix, he was really good, 37 fandom points. And the last few games, I mean, against Boston, he put up 54 fandom points. I didn't know he still had that left in his broken down body. The Knicks are still an absolute mess right now. I mean, what have they lost? Like 13 out of 16 games or something crazy? Indiana, you know, the Knicks are playing up in pace a little bit. So he's fine, but his price has come up a little bit as well. So, and Porzingis is, that's the other thing. Like, what's going on with Porzingis? He has not looked right the last couple games. So if Porzingis is still, if I get any word that Porzingis is still like banged up, then maybe I would be inclined to play the criminal a little bit. Otherwise, though, I just prefer other guys. And plus, I don't want to play criminals. Dennis Schroeder, 6.5K. Don't do it in cash. It's just, he's so bad defensively. I mean, the minutes scare me. I watch him play and just cringe on the defensive end of the floor. I mean, you can go around him. He's basically, he reminds me of Rondo this year. Not Rondo when Rondo was good at defense, but Rondo of like this year, when Rondo basically lets anyone go by him and then does like a really lazy like reach to try to steal the ball after the defender is like 5 feet past him. So, Schroeder's given you 35 Fanduel points the last two games. And if he gets minutes, he can still be good. And he's going to get some Fat Felton or Austin Rivers defense. So I don't mind it for tournaments. But for cash games, I would stay away right now. Reggie Jackson. Yeah, this Sacramento-Detroit game, I don't want a ton of exposure in cash games. But for tournaments, Reggie's okay, especially if KCP is still out. If KCP comes back and plays, I think that hurts Reggie a little bit. It's tough to see the upside right now with Reggie. Even though the usage rate's still fine at 31%, he's not getting a ton of minutes. He's getting like in the low 30s in minutes. Other guys from Detroit are also playing really well, like Marcus Morris and guys like that who are taking some shots from Reggie. So, yeah, I don't love this game. I just quite honestly, this game I just want to avoid in cash games. Drew Holiday, 6.4K. Look, as long as Tyreek is back getting over 20-something minutes a game, I'm not touching Drew Holiday. I mean, I know he's been okay, 27, 36, 19, 20, last four. The minutes have been like in the 20s the last four games as well. That's a lot of that. Some of that's blowout. Some of that's Tyreek. 6.4K, just too expensive for me. Look, will he be super low-owned in a tournament? If you want to do it and pray that Anthony Davis like gets hurt or something, you can do it. But that's a guy that I just don't want to play right now. Tyler Johnson, keep an eye on him. Like I said, I'm praying he's out because I want to play a lot of Dragic and Deion Waiters. If Tyler Johnson's in, he does impact those guys a little bit, especially Dragic, because as I told you many times, in the fourth quarter of games, sometimes they let it, if Tyler has it going, they let it be the Tyler Johnson show, and Dragic hides in the corner. So then if Tyler Johnson plays, I will absolutely limit my exposure to Dragic a little bit. George Hill, 6.1K. I'm not a George Hill fan, but like I'm not one to argue with production. He started off the year great, then had that injury, and then he was like okay for like a couple week stretch. Indiana, the last game out, he put up 46 Fanduel points, 30 actual points. Do I think he's going to do that again on this slate? No. But do I think playing up in pace and you get to attack Westbrook, who plays no defense? You know, Utah, not they're relatively healthy. I'm not a huge Hill fan. I'm just not, because the usage is just not great. 25% usage. You know, there's over 10 point guards who have a higher usage rate on the slate, maybe even more than that. So, I mean, only four starting point guards, and I'll read them to you. Darren Collison, Fat Raymond Felton, Waffle House Felton, Spencer Dinwiddie, Din Doodle, Din Crottle, whatever the hell that guy is. He's so bad. And then Patrick Beverley. Those are the only guys with lower usage rates than George Hill. So do I love the George Hill play? No. The only reason – I do think you can do it in cash, though, because he's going to get a lot of minutes, and he is playing Westbrook, and Utah is playing up in pace. So I don't think it's a massive ceiling, but I think it's fine for Monday. Again, I let the slate dictate who I play. So based on all the factors, playing up in pace, getting Westbrook defense, it's okay. Patrick Beverley, I do love this Houston-Milwaukee game, but another guy, not a ton of upside. He's expensive, not 5.6K. So, I'm not enthralled with this. If you want to do it, okay. But I'm like, remember when I said at the beginning of the show, why are you playing? Why are you playing DFS? Are you playing to win a tournament or are you playing to cash? I'm playing to win a tournament. Do I think Patrick Beverley is going to be in the winning GPP lineup of the night? I don't. I just don't see it. Could he? Sure. Because DFS is freaking crazy. But like, I just don't see it. So I won't have a ton of him. Austin Rivers, you can attack the hell out of Atlanta guards. especially Dennis Schroeder. Now, I would assume – now, I don't know what the Clippers are going to do in terms of starting. Because last game, they started like most spates. Felton came off the bench. That was a disaster. They got blown up by like 50. So I'm not sure what Doc Rivers is going to do. I'm sure he's going to start his son because why not? He loves his son, and he's got to play his son minutes. You know, otherwise, he wouldn't be a good father. It's so embarrassing. Austin Rivers is the worst player I've ever seen. So, I mean, they got absolutely blitzed by Denver. I'll wait till I see this. Hopefully this game's at 7:30 Eastern, so we should know what the starting lineup is. I will let that dictate who I play from this game. I hope that Felton is going to start because Felton's 4.9K. And if you tell me he's going to get Dennis Schroeder defense, I will love the play of Raymond Felton on this slate. If Austin Rivers is starting, I'm going to have to play him a little bit because that Dennis Schroeder defense is that bad. But I don't love the play. And probably tournaments only. So Brogdon, 5.2K. Dellavedova starting now. So even though Brogdon got like 30, I mean, last game for the Bucks was weird too. I mean, they benched Jabari Parker for some like media violation, whatever that was. Brogdon and Dellavedova both got over 30 minutes. Milwaukee's playing way up in pace. But if they're both going to play over 30 minutes, Brogdon's 5.2K and Dellavedova's 3.7K. Give me Dellavedova at 3.7K. Basically, that's the minimum. And he put up 27 FanDuel points. I mean, that's basically like 6-7 times value at that price. And that's about it. I'm not going to play Darren Collison on this slate probably. All right, shooting guard. So you got James Harden and Giannis. James is 11, and they're playing each other. Harden's 11.9K. Giannis is 10.8K. Both are elite plays. Milwaukee playing way up in pace. I love both these guys. Right now, I'm trying to build a lineup actually with both of them in my lineup. The problem when you do that, obviously, it limits what the rest of what you can do, and you basically have to play two bums, like a Joe Ingles and like a John Lure. I mean, they're not really bums, but you know, you guys know what I mean by bums. So I think they're fine. I mean, I think both of them are safe for all formats. I would just prefer Harden in cash because it's Harden's just more of a well-rounded game, and he's just the usage rate is higher than Giannis's by significantly higher. I mean, Giannis is a 30% usage rate, whereas Harden is like 38%. And Giannis is going to take – I mean, Harden's going to take, what, 8, 9, 10 threes as well? So, but I do love both plays, both fine for all formats. Nick Batum, it's just a nice, safe play any night of the week now. Also, Bradley Beal defense has not been that great this year. Although, real quickly, let me check what the DVP is. Sometimes I'm actually surprised. Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's basically middle of the pack. But I mean, Batum's he's been excellent, and I love Batum because he's not a one trick pony. He's going to fill the stat sheet up, so he can have a bad shooting night. I can still survive. He's not going to kill my lineups, I don't think. He's got a nice safe floor around 30-ish these days, and a ceiling of around 50. So at 7.3K, it's, you know, just a nice safe play, all formats. And I really do love that Washington-Charlotte game. Speaking of that game, you got Brad Beal, 6.7K. Beal is the opposite of Batum. Beal would be a GPP play, whereas Batum would be the cash game play. Beal, a one-trick pony. He basically does nothing on the stat sheet some nights except shoot. Some nights, if he's not making his shots, he will make you cry like he did for me. I think it was Friday night when I played him against the Knicks, and he put up 15 FanDuel points and 8 actual points in 38 minutes. But he also can put up 40, 45 FanDuel points. So he's a tournament player only. He's a Magic Mountain guy, quite honestly, now that I think about it. So I don't know if he can replace Bledsoe as the captain of the Magic Mountain team, but a tournament-only play for me on Monday. Klay Thompson, all the Golden State guys are only tournaments-only for me. The only one I ever consider for cash is Durant. Eric Gordon, 6K. It's expensive, man. He was one of the guys for, I feel like, a month I was touting as being super consistent. And then he kind of fell off a cliff in terms of his shooting. He's had some really bad shooting games lately. So at 6K, and he is like a one-trick pony, he's going to get like 10 three-pointers. but he's just been really bad shooting lately. So it's going to be tournaments only for me with Eric Gordon. But I will have one James Harden, Eric Gordon as my two shooting guard lineup, just because I know no one else is going to do that except me. And now maybe a couple listeners. But I think I did that over the weekend. I don't remember when it was. It was sometime in the last week I did that. And no one, literally, I looked everywhere. I couldn't find anyone else who had done that. And it ended up cashing in, I forgot what, it was somewhat of a high entry fee tournament. It made a decent profit. Now, then again, if Eric Gordon has a bad shooting night, that lineup will not work. So cash games, do not do it, please. Oladipo, 5.7K. Tournaments only, probably, because at Utah, OKC playing way down in pace. So I'm not a huge fan right now for Oladipo. Tyreek Evans, 5.6K. The minutes still aren't tremendous, and he only got 13 against Brooklyn. I mean, he had that amazing game against Brooklyn a week ago. We're at 46 Vando points. So then I don't know why he only got 13 against Brooklyn the last time they played. And really, he's in like the low 20s most nights. So he's still too expensive for me really to play. Maybe as a dart in a tournament. Deion Waiters. Yeah, I mean, I love the play. Quite honestly, if Tyler Johnson's out, I think he's safe for all formats. I've been telling you guys this kind of every show. He was just shooting the ball really poorly last week, and he was still giving you like in the mid to low 20s Fando points. So if he just starts making his shots, which he did on Saturday, and then he gave you 40 Fando points, 30 actual points. So now Miami's playing way up in pace. Klay Thompson defense does not scare me. He's going and he's a tough shot maker too. So he's going to get all the shots he wants. And if Tyler Johnson plays, maybe I won't look that way, and I'll in cash or and I'll limit my exposure a little bit. But I will still have a decent amount of DM Waiters. Then you got the under 5K guys, JJ Redick. I mean, him and Redick's been okay. Jamal Crawford's been so bad, but those guys are both. You can throw those guys in some lineups if you want. I mean, someone's got to score for the Clippers. Tim Hardaway Jr., Garrett Temple, Sean Kilpatrick is so dirt cheap. The one guy that I will look to, who I think is safe for all formats, especially cash games, is Iman Shumpert. He's 4K. And the Pelicans, you can attack their guards. He's the last three games, 38, 30, and 30 minutes. And he's giving you 21, 25, 31 Fando points. So, you know, not a sexy play, but I think he's fine. And then you got Deontay. I don't know how to pronounce his first name. The guy who's replacing Tony Parker, Murray, at 3.8K. San Antonio is playing Brooklyn, so he should be okay in all formats as well. Although it's tough to play any spur besides Kawhi and Cash. All right, small forward. You got LeBron and Durant. They are both 10.6K. If I had to approach this, I still would go LeBron for cash games, and I would use Durant in tournaments. But just because, again, I look at the data and I look at usage rates, and LeBron is at 33% usage rate, and Durant's closer to 27, 28. And also, Golden State could blow out Miami. LeBron is just a safer play. So either way, both those guys, always fine for any format you want to play them in. Kawhi Leonard, 9.8K. I mean, Kawhi's been great. He's been so good lately. Coming off, I think it may have been his career high with 41 actual points against Cleveland when they beat the Cavs in overtime at Cleveland on Saturday night. He had 54 Fando points. He was just tremendous. And he's had 50 now over the last three straight games, and he's been over 40 like six or seven straight games. He's been excellent. The problem is now he's 9.8K, so he's super expensive. He's basically, I mean, pretty close now to Durant and LeBron in price, and now you're playing Brooklyn. So on one hand, you got the best matchup in the world. Brooklyn can't defend anyone, but you also have like the worst team in the world. So it's all about, can this game stay close? How many minutes will Kawhi get? If you think he's going to get 35 minutes, you play him everywhere. If you think he's going to get 25 minutes, then you probably don't want a ton of Kawhi on this slate. So it's all about what do you think? And to me, it's tough to read because I could see Popovich, quite honestly, even if this game is like close, like limiting Kawhi's minutes and then like letting him play the fourth quarter if it's still competitive. It's just it's tough to figure out. But with that said, Kawhi's been, knock on wood, like pretty safe from getting popped this year. And Brooklyn has been keeping all these games close. So I mean, I will have some exposure in tournaments, although I don't think I'm going to use him in cash, but I will use him in tournaments. Carmelo's 8.1K. Just such a guy that's just so frustrating to roster. He may be the guy to replace Eric Bledsoe at Magic Mountain. The last two, he's been great. 47 and 50 Fando points. He's actually got some rebounds too, which helped because he's a one-trick pony. So even though he's been over 30 actual points three out of the last four games, he's given you over seven rebounds in those games as well. So, you know, when Porzingis is coming back, he's supposed to be getting healthier. Whatever. I mean, the Knicks are playing up in pace. He's fine. He is. Look, you can save 2.5K if you can't afford Durant or LeBron. It should Melo be safe for 35 in this game? He should. But if you played Melo this year, you know he can have. If he has a bad shooting night, it's gonna suck. And Paul George is a pretty good defender, so Carmelo's fine. I will have exposure for sure in tournaments, absolutely, because I will have a mini stack of that New York Indiana game, and I will absolutely have a lineup with Carmelo and Paul George. This is my two small forwards. Gordon Hayward, 7.4K. He's been really good in real life. The problem is in fantasy land, in DFS, Utah is fully healthy now. And the last game, he had 27 points and 28 FanDuel points, so 27 actual points. So I hope that's not a theme of him becoming a one-trick pony. But, you know, with George Hill now back taking some shots, Favors is there, Gobert's getting better. Hayward's never makes my lineup. The upside just doesn't seem to be there. They are playing up in pace. He is going to get some Roberson defense. I don't love this playing a 9-game slate. Paul George is basically free, guys. He's 7K. I don't understand what the hell is going on here. I just don't get it. He's so talented. So what the hell is going on? It doesn't make sense. He stands in the corner a lot. The usage rate is under 27%, which is sickening for someone of his talent. But I mean, I will continue to roster him in tournaments. And I mean, quite honestly, at that price, you can do it in cash games. I mean, even if he plays bad, he's got a floor of like 25, 30 FanDuel points. So, which is like basically at that price, that's fine. And then if he plays well and makes some shots and the usage goes up and the pace goes up, maybe he gets to 40, 45 FanDuel points. So that it's just too cheap. I'm all about attacking price. I know he hasn't been good. He's going to get what, Carmelo defense. So I think this is a really good spot for Paul George. And it's a nice way to differentiate your lineup. I mean, that's so dirt cheap for him. So I mean, he's cost me a lot of money this year, but, whatever, he's going to help us win a GPP soon. That's just so cheap. Otto Porter, I mean, the man without a usage rate is 6.3K. That's close to Paul George. Otto freaking Porter. So give me Paul George over Otto Porter. Otto Porter, with that said, Otto Porter's been tremendous. 27, 37, 35 FanDuel points. He's locked into a lot of minutes, and he fills up a stat sheet. And he's been over 20 actual points two or last three games. I don't know how that happens because he doesn't have a usage rate. But a lot of that's just John Wall pushing the pace up, and he gets easy buckets. And he also has been shooting really well. He's been hitting some threes. But to me, man, that's expensive. I mean, he's basically playing against his clone too, an MKG, who's 5.4K. You could have a lineup just for the fun of it. You could play in all guys with low usage rates in your lineup. You know, start off with and easily start off with Otto Porter and MKG as your two small forwards. So he's been good, but it's just too expensive for me, man. I'll just pay up for Paul George, or I'll pay down to the next guy, Marcus Morris, 5.4K. I mean, Marcus Morris, if there's a guy from Detroit, I'll play. It might be him. He's been great. I don't know if you've been watching Detroit. They can be a painful team to watch because Drummond is just snoring through the TV. But he's given you 44, 37, 36, 17, 32 FanDuel points like the last five games or so. His price, he was like 4.6K about a week ago. Now he's up to 5.4K. But some of this, I'm a little worried with John Lure coming back now. But Marcus Morris, he's been playing so well. He's getting tons of minutes. And he's probably the one guy that I don't mind playing. I quite honestly, I think he's safe for all formats. Not monster upside. I wish the pace was going to be better in this game versus Sacramento. But I think he's fine for cash games. MKG, 5.4K. Quite honestly, if Lamb is out again, he's safe for cash games too. He's just been really good. And he fills up the stat sheet. He's given you, like the last two games, 14, 11 rebounds. He also can give you some blocks, some steals. And then he occasionally will get some easy buckets. So $900 cheaper than Otto Porter in the same game. Yeah, give me some MKG. Hold on, I gotta check my. I just got a text message at 3:15 in the morning, and it's from like a number that I'd not recognize. Oh, that's bizarre. Anyway, that was weird. Where are we? Trevor Ariza, 5.2K. Dude, I mean, this guy stands in a corner and jacks up so many threes. Him and Eric Gordon lately haven't been able to make a shot. So, yeah, I'll play my customary one lineup with Harden and Ariza. But the last week, he's burned me a lot. So it's tough to love it. Although, he will get 7, 8, 9 wide-open threes. If he hits hitting his shots, he will end the night sipping champagne. Ronnie Hollis Jefferson, 4.5K against San Antonio. Probably not the best night to play him. The minutes, he still like struggles to get 20 minutes, which is a joke. Bogdanović, right around that same price. Tournaments only. Sam Decker, man, I wish Ryan Anderson wouldn't play because I'd love to play me some Decker. If Ryan Anderson's back, it's going to be tough to play Decker. Although he's given you over 30 the last two games. Again, that was basically without Ryan Anderson. Then you got guys like LeVert, who's talented, but again, he doesn't get many minutes for Brooklyn. You got the Bays. Joe Ingles, I think, is safe for all formats still, 3.9K. His price should be up. I don't know why FanDuel raised the price. And then Andre Roberson's free, 3.6K, and so is Jeremy Grant. And so is Stanley Johnson at 3.6K. If KCP is still out, maybe not. Stanley Johnson only got 16 minutes last game, so maybe stay away. Maybe he's a tournament dart, though, if you want. All right, power forward, Blake Griffin. I don't know why I said Blake Griffin's name. Maybe I just wanted to say it because I feel like I haven't said it. Is he alive? Has anyone seen him? Has he gained like 1,000 pounds? I think he's going to start playing in the next week or so. I'm excited to roster him at some point. Anyway, he's out. So you got the Tin Man himself, Anthony Davis, 11.2K. I can't trust it in cash games because it's Anthony Davis. But tournaments, when he plays, it's an undeniable fact that he's excellent. He's one of the best players in the league. He can put up 70. I mean, he had 70 FanDuel points a week and a half ago against the Knicks in 29 minutes. 29 minutes, 70 FanDuel points. So anyone who's that talented is always going to be in play for me in tournaments. And he's always under-owned. The matchup's fine against Cleveland. Not elite, but I mean, he's unstoppable and he's unguardable. So tournament's fine. Draymond Green, this sloppy chicken nugget. I'm sure it was out on South Beach, as I previously said. In my one or two lineups I played on Sunday, I actually played him against Orlando. He was miserable. He looked hungover and drunk. So whatever. He's normally fine. It's just he has no usage rate. So you're relying on rebounds, assists, and then for him to hit a couple threes or so. Not a guy I've been playing a ton this year. and not a guy I will play a ton on Monday. Paul Millsap, you know, when you do like a deep dive into Millsap, what you find when Dwight Howard is healthy is the upside just not there. It's just not. Like, he's been somewhat consistent, but he's more of a cash game player when you really do the deep dive into the analytics. So 8.1K, it's fine against the Clippers. The Clippers have no big guys to play defense. It's just it's expensive, and I don't quite honestly have the money in a lot of lineups. If you can fit him in, fine, do it. Aldridge, 7.6K. I think it's a nice tournament play. Again, if the Spurs stay, if Brooklyn can keep that close, Aldridge should be able to feast on them. They have no one to defend Aldridge. So, I mean, Trevor Booker, as hard as he plays, he's way too small to defend Aldridge. Kevin Love. Well, Kevin Love's price has fallen because he's not looked right. He's got a back issue. He's dealing with some other things. So, he hasn't given me 40 FanDuel points in about a month now. That's a long time. So I can't use him in cash right now. I do like the price, and I do like attacking Anthony Davis on the defensive end. So in a couple lineups, I'll use him in tournaments. Jabari Parker, 7.4K. The Bucks are playing up in pace, and I do think he's got a good matchup here because Ryan Anderson is a horrendous defender. You know, if Jabari Parker would ever freaking rebound the ball, he could give you a 40 FanDuel point night. But since he doesn't, he typically will end up in the 30s and more of a cash game player right now, if you ask me. Porzingis. I mean, I'm going to have a lineup with Paul George and Porzingis, and I'm going to call it my underachiever lineup because both those guys should be 8K. They're both about $1,000 too cheap. But Porzingis is I think, health-related. Not sure what's going on with him. He's not looked right the last two games, 20 and 25, coming back from the whatever injury he had. But that's too cheap. So for tournaments, I want to attack it. You guys know I am playing to win the tournament. So to me, it's worth the risk. And it's just too cheap. The upside's tremendous. Would I do it in cash games right now? Probably not. Markieff Morris, 6.4K. He's been good. Both the Morris brothers, I don't know what they've been doing, if they've been doing like some meditation together, some yoga. They've both been excellent. They're both playing maybe the best basketball I've seen them play. But now Markeef's expensive. It's a 9-game slate. So I really want to throw down 6.4K on Markieff? Not really. Enes Kanter against Utah? Not really. That's expensive. I mean, if Adams is out, maybe I do it in like 1 out of 10 lineups, maybe 2 out of 10 lineups. Yeah, I mean, because you think Utah would put Gobert on Kanter. I guess it could be Favors as well. But either way, Kanter's not super expensive and tournaments only. Tobias Harris. For the most part, he's another Detroit guy. Guys like Marcus Morris and Tobias have been playing super, super well the last few games. But it's just like this game against Sacramento, Detroit. If it was a 5-game slate, I'd be pretty, I would be much more inclined to play guys like Tobias. But since it's a 9-game slate, he's not going to make a ton of my lineups. James Johnson. I love to attack James Johnson when Miami plays up in pace. When they play down in pace, I stay away for the most part. Look at the last two games. Milwaukee and Dallas, two teams that are turtles. 20 and 18 FanDuel points. The two games before that, Houston, 35, and then Golden State, 28. So a guy that I do like to use when you're playing up in pace, and now they are playing Golden State again. So I think he's in a good spot. Thaddeus Young, 5.7K. He's been balling lately, and the steals have been like tremendous. He's had a couple games, only one steal last game against Utah, but he still put up 33 points against Utah, FanDuel points. And then he had 5 steals against the Lakers, 3 steals against Sacramento, 6 steals against the Pelicans. Then he didn't have a steal against Denver, but then he had 6 steals against the Knicks. He's always been great for steals. If you played season long, you've basically been aware of that. but he just looked better all around. He fills up the stat sheet. He doesn't need to score, so he can still give you 30 fandom points, even if he doesn't do much on actual scoring, because he gets rebounds, steals, occasionally some assists, and a block or two. So he has gone up in price, but the Knicks – Porzingis is a good defender, but he hasn't looked healthy, so I think this play's fine. I don't love it. Not a nine-game slate, but he's okay. Trevor Booker, he's not going to make a lot of my lineups. Tournaments only also for him. Terrence Jones, God forbid Elvin Gentry would start Terrence Jones. He's basically like a yo-yo with the minutes with Terrence Jones. So he's a fantasy point-per-minute guy, but the minutes just aren't there right now for Terrence Jones. Then you got David Lee, 5.1K. You know, with Pau Gasol out, he is starting. If he gets the minutes against Brooklyn, he's got 36 and 33 minutes the last two games, which for a Popovich coach team is freaking amazing. And he's rewarded you with 33 and 36 fandom points. So do I think, God forbid, could you actually use three Spurs and cash on this in this slate with Kawhi, Murray, and David Lee? I guess you could. Now, would that be scary to do? Yeah, but you could do it. Montrezl Harrell, he's still fine. I mean, I don't know what D'Antoni is going to ultimately do with the center position, because they still have Clint Capela now playing. They got Harrell, and they have Nene still sitting there. So depending on the matchup, Harrell's going to get between 16 and 30 minutes. Here they're playing Milwaukee. Milwaukee does not really have any big, so I don't see Nene getting many minutes. So Harrell should be fine, but I'm, you know, just – there's probably other guys I'd prefer. Derek Favors is down there, 4.5K. John Luehr. I do think John Luehr is still safe in cash games at that price if you're looking to save. And then looks like that's about it for power forward. Unless you want to go Thon Maker, who got the start for the Bucks and then played 18 minutes over the weekend. Don't play Thon Maker. I was kidding. All right, center. You got Cousins. I think Cousins is in an elite spot, and I watched the last game, Sacramento versus Chicago, and that may have been the best game I've seen Cousins play ever. He was tremendous. 67 FanDuel points, 42 actual points. I mean, man, he's super frustrating to watch because he just whines the whole game and complains. You know, he's so lazy defensively a lot of times. But, I mean, the talent is obviously there, so – and now he gets Sleeping Beauty on the other end with Andre Drummond. I'm pretty sure these two teams played like a week ago. They played, it was about a week and a half ago. Drummond or Cousins, actually, they both had good games. Cousins had like 50 fandom points, and Drummond actually had like 42 fandom points. So, you know, considering price, Drummond actually outplayed him. The problem is here, nine game slate, it's expensive, so I can't do it in cash, but he'll be relatively low owned, and I think he's in a really good spot. He should be able to feast on Drummond. Drummond is an atrocious defender. He's lazy. He's sleeping. I'm telling you, Cousins should feast on him. Whiteside, 8.5K. No one passes Whiteside the ball. Whiteside hasn't given you – he's given you over 40 one time in the last, month? Granted, he was hurt a little bit. In theory, they should play Whiteside against Golden State 40 minutes and pound it inside every time. Will they do that? No. So, tournaments only. DeAndre Jordan, 8.4K. Not the best matchup in the world here because Dwight Howard still is good defensively. And again, Jordan without CP3 is not, you know, he's a little limited as well, I think, offensively. It impacts his game adversely. So, you know, I don't love this play. Plus, his price has come up. So, I'll be looking elsewhere. Rudy Gobert, 8.1K. His price has come up too. I still think he's safe. But I do not like to attack Steven Adams. So, if Adams doesn't play, I think Gobert's safe for all formats. If Adams plays, Gobert's still probably safe for all formats, but I don't think you need to do it. Drummond, tournaments only. He did have a nice game, like I said, against Cousins last time out, but he's tough to roster. And, I mean, last two games, Drummond's given you 18 and 23 minutes. So You play him, get ready to drink alcohol. Brook Lopez, 7.6K. Do I want to play him against the Spurs? Not especially. You know, I guess you could think about it. If Brooklyn keeps it close, how do they keep it close? It's going to be because Brook Lopez has a good night. So you could use him in tournaments. Dwight Howard. So Dwight Howard is down to 6.9K. I am now going to have a lineup of Paul George, Porzingis, and Dwight Howard. I'm going to call it my 7K Delight Special. Just too cheap. Again, I'm looking for bargains, and he only has to give me, 35 fandom points? And he should be able to do that. DeAndre Jordan's not a great on-ball defender, and he tries getting blocks. That should leave some offensive rebounds open for Dwight Howard. Dwight hasn't been good lately, I'll say that. The minutes for him haven't been great. He's also dealing with like a back injury. But so do I, maybe for cash games would I want to do it? No, but for a tournament, I think it's okay to do because that price is just so cheap. Miles Turner, 6.3K. He's an elite tournament play on this slate. Man, he's really fun to watch. When you watch him play, man, sometimes he's like a point guard, shooting guard out on the perimeter. He's so athletically gifted. And he's got such a good jump shot. Him and Karl Anthony Towns, maybe like my two favorite centers to watch play. He's so talented. So 6.3K playing the Knicks. I mean, can you imagine Joakim Noah trying to guard Turner on the perimeter? He should be able to destroy him. Or like Kyle O'Quinn. So Turner's in a really good spot. I'm going to use a lot of him. Gortat, he's aged 30 years in the last like month. With that said, Charlotte Bigs stink. So I do think he's safe for cash games. Other than that, that's about it for centers, man. Yeah, then you got Joakim Noah. You got Cody Zeller. Tristan Thompson. I mean, Tristan Thompson, when Kevin Love was out, I think it was Friday or Saturday, I played Tristan Thompson against Phoenix. And sure enough, he dislocated his finger like in the second quarter. Gave me 13 FanDuel points in 20 minutes, and I think I use him in like a $100 single entry tournament. And of course, the next game he played the Spurs and put up 31 FanDuel points. I hate Tristan Thompson. I mentioned how Miles Turner might be my favorite center to watch. The center I hate watching the most is Tristan Thompson. He's the most boring player to ever watch. And you talk about a man without a usage rate. So if you have a lineup with guys without a usage rate, MKG, Otto Porter, and Tristan Thompson, because he'll take like one shot a game. But that said, you want to do it in cash, whatever, go ahead. Clint Capella, probably tournaments only still, but the minutes are too much in flux. You want to go to Lavernia and be crazy, you can do that. And that's about it. John Henson, I think John Henson still starts. I mean, 3.6K, he got 22 minutes, 22 FanDuel points last game. So if you want to punt center, you get a Westbrook and Harden in your lineup, you know, you can do it. All right, that's it. That's the slate. All nine games, we got through it. I mean, this is a really fun slate. I mean, talk about the chance. This is the chance to show the judge your skills on Monday. It's just going to be fun. I'm a tournament guy anyway, but this is going to be a really fun night to make tournaments. So remember, if you I normally will tweet out the links to Chambers around 5 p.m. Eastern. If you do want to get in Chambers, you've been trying, you haven't had luck, you can still tweet at me. You also, I know I get a lot of DMs, but I get so many DMs, I'm getting over 100 a day, that sometimes I just miss them and I can't keep track. So you have a better chance at a response if you tweet rather than a DM, if you want to get into Chambers, or if you have a question just in general, you know, regarding who to play, especially when it comes close to lineup blocks. I'm getting so many questions. Otherwise, you know, tweet at me at Daniel A. Green 1. You want a consultation or just want to email me in general, go to the website, dgcourtroomdfs.com. And other than that, that's it. Now I'm going to bed. It's 5 a.m. So hope you had a good weekend. You made it to Monday. Let's enjoy the basketball. I will see you guys back tomorrow. Court is adjourned.